Locked On.
The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We have a very interesting show for you today. In this half hour, we have two interviews. One of them everybody knows about what happened in Nice on Thursday. We have the Chabad Shliach Rabbi Yosef Pinson, whose son is a Chabad in Greater Downtown Detroit. And he's going to be talking about the aftermath and what they're doing over there. Also, followed by that, will be an interview with Rabbi Yehoshua Binyamin Goldman, who is the head rabbi of Rio de Janeiro. And we're going to be talking to him. The Olympics are coming up, and we're going to be talking about what they're doing. If you feel like you need to go to the Olympics, if you want to go to the Olympics, and you happen to be Jewish and you're wondering about what's going on over there, well, we're going to have that too. We're going to have lots of wonderful music. This is the last week for 3 weeks. As next week, we begin the 3 weeks, and today happens to be the birthday of the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef I. Schneerson, who would be 136 had he been alive today. The portion of the week is the portion of Balak, can be found in chapter 19 and following in the book of Numbers. An awesome Hasidic story at the end. Stay all the way through, folks. And before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. In what's been called a miracle, only 6 members of Nice's Jewish community were injured in the terrorist attack at Bastille's Day celebration. 2 people have already been released from the hospital. Close to 100 people were killed as a French Arab drove his truck into the crowd of celebrants. This is like all over the news. I don't have to see it anymore. In other news, a tunnel collapse in Gaza killed a member of the terror group Islam Jihad. 17 Gazans have been killed in tunnel collapses so far this year. In a long overdue first, the Jerusalem district prosecutor filed suit against 2 17-year-old Arab stone throwers over damages they caused to a Jerusalem light rail train. The lawsuit against the two totals approximately $1,700, is intended to cover the cost of replacing a window that was smashed when the defendants hurled rocks at a passing train. They want to do it, you got to pay to play. That's what they say. A court in Israel sentenced a man who for years has refused to give his wife a divorce to 5 years in prison. Under Jewish law, a woman cannot get remarried unless her husband willingly gives a bill of divorce. In recent years, the Israeli rabbinate has adopted a policy of stringent punishments against husbands who refuse to give their wives divorces. 5 years is the longest sentence meted out to date. And finally, the families of 5 Americans killed in terror attacks in Israel are suing Facebook for $1 billion, accusing the social network of violating the U.S. Anti-Terrorism Act by assisting terror groups such as Hamas in recruiting, radicalizing, and instructing terrorists, funding, raising funds, creating fear, and carrying out attacks. We'll keep abreast of this one. This is going to last for a bunch of years. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We have on the line Reb Yosef Pinson, who is the Chabad rabbi in the city of Nice, and everybody knows about what happened there this last weekend, Bastille Day. It's on Thursday. I wish I was calling Rabbi Pinson on better occasions. How are you? What's going on? Tell us about what's happening now, please, Rabbi Pinson, in the aftermath of this terrible occurrence.
Yes. Number one, okay, we had a very big Ness miracle at this attack place, because we have a camp of over 220 children on the Chabad and the Riviera. We have even there two camps, one in Nice and one in Cannes, Antibes. And we have counselors that we bring from all over France, especially from Paris, to be counselors in this day camp. And among those counselors, there's over 15. Four of them went to see this fireworks, because it was in France, like the national day, the Bastille Day, like the American July 4th.
Right.
And there's every big, France does very big fireworks every city. And in Nice, they do it on the boardwalk and the sea. It's called the Promenade des Anglais, which is a very big, beautiful place. And thousands of people come see it. Over 20,000 people were there. So four of the counselors were there. And when this truck came, and were killed all over the place, and they jumped away, and the Umamesh almost touched them. And Baruch Hashem, they were saved by Ness. Around them, they saw things that couldn't. They were so traumatized. People being smashed, died, all terrible things. And that, they had to run away. Everybody ran, and they went to a restaurant, Goyesha, that everybody went, whoever could go, and they had inside, because they didn't know. There was shootings also. So they didn't know exactly what's going on. So they were hidden there for a few hours till we came and took them out. So that was a very big mess, because they were really, really in a situation of danger, amongst other people that did not live to Nebuch. So that's the first part.
Now, let me just interrupt, Rabbi Pinson. Let me just interrupt. So the camp had already left the celebration?
Yes, because the camp finishes in the afternoon. Here there were the counselors without the children. The celebration is like 10 o'clock in the evening, 10 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm. So this was just the counselors?
Just the counselors, right. But they came, we brought them back, especially from different places, from France, from Paris, to be counselors. So they went there officially under our hive, our responsibility. And they saw things that they couldn't take it. Of course, it was very, very hard for them.
Mm-hmm. What was the second thing you were going to mention?
So that's number one. Number two is that we found the people that there were no, according to what we know now. We went to the hospital, we saw the families, and there's only three Jewish people from the community that were injured, two ladies. And one that we couldn't find. One is missing, and one two were new and the five are in the coma. And there's two more young people that were already out of the hospital before. They went already out. They was very, very lightly injured. That was the effect of the attack.
Mm-hmm. So what's the mood on the ground now? You have a Chabad house, and there's like you do Friday night services. You probably have people
coming over. We have a few Chabad houses here in the city and the area of the Chlal in the whole of Viera, because the Chabad will go here from the Italian border, which is the city of Longton, till Saint-Tropez, which is the whole like about 12 Chabads on the offshore of the shore on the boardwalks. And we have in Nice, we have three Chabad, which is going to go open, of course, and we're having even a big event this Shabbos, and it's going to be specially dedicated to all the people that were injured and lost their lives in this terrible tragedy.
Mm-hmm. So what generally, before this accident, before this terrorist attack, what was the feeling in Nice? Is it the same like in Paris where things had already happened? Or did people in Nice think they're kind of like immune for it, or was it something in the middle?
No, it was not like in Paris, but it was a little tension because, like, we have old friends. This was on the special time of war, they were calling it security special. So we had the army all the time by the school, by the schools. We have a school of 300 children. And there was army here by the opening, the evening and the morning. And it was a little tense, but it was not really, people were not really under big pressure. And now, we don't know yet, but we hope that it's not going to affect too much the Jewish community because it was not special against Jews. It was not something that was geared like sometimes in Paris, there was in the kosher place, especially against Jews. He was against the French. I mean, whoever was there, and there's many people from all religions, all colors that were among the victims. So it's not specially Jewish. So that's not something that Jews are really, really more affected than anybody else. But still, only Jews feel more sensitive to such a situation. So we'll hope that it's going to go over and we're going to go further. Mm-hmm. We're not going to stop by this.
Okay, so you're going to have things basically on Shabbos, same as normal. What's your message to the people going to be?
Yeah, the message is going to be a double message. Number one, that we should not let ourselves be attacked morally. Okay, they're attacking physically, but our mind and our spirit is going to stay strong, and we're not going to let ourselves down with this thing, even though it's very hard. We'll have to overcome it. And also in the future, that means I'm a shaliach of Chabad, of Lubavitch and Rebbe. The Rebbe always says when something happens that stops you from doing something, so you have to intensify and do even more and help other people and try to be kinder and nicer and do more good deeds. And that's what we're going to stress to people, that it means that we have to do even more better things to overcome all the bad things that are happening in the world.
Mm-hmm. You know, you reminded me with Yud Beis Tammuz, that, which is Sunday, that the Friedrich Rebbe responded to his interrogators, "You may have captured my body, but which is in this world, but my soul, which is for the next world, you haven't captured." So this is sort of like I'm saying.
So that's exactly it. That's what we go with this idea, that our soul and spirit, and even when this time, even our bodies, we're not going to let it be captured.
Mm-hmm. So, wait, have you been counseling people in the Jewish community?
Yeah, some people come. Okay, there's it's Erev Shabbos, so people are more. A lot of people locally are on vacation, but we have many tourists that are here. They are a little afraid. So we have hope. And we're counseling people here also, of course, that are here to help them to overcome this terrible situation. And this trauma, it's a real trauma for everybody, even the whole city, all the people of the city are very traumatized.
Understood. Has the city in general contacted you as like a clergy person to...
Yes. Last night we had a meeting, as a matter of fact, I was up the whole night, because they made a place where like a QG to counsel people, and everybody met, and we sat the whole night with the mayor and with the governor. And that's where the Minister of Interior, Kazanov, came to speak. And we were shown, they were representatives of all the religions, to each one should counsel his people and to help everybody to overcome this situation.
Okay, that's going to do it for this section. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I said the city, the mayor is very close to the Jewish community, he's a very good friend of ours. And he thanked us specially for coming, and even though there was not the Jews amongst the people that were injured, almost nothing, but we're here and stayed with them all night, help out everybody.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Rabbi Pinson, you have a son here in Detroit, and I hope the next time we get to talk, it's at some sort of a simcha, some kind of celebration, a family thing, okay. Only better things.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Hatzalah. Always let know all over. Good news, always good news.
Amen. Good news. Thank you so much.
Take
care.
Welcome. Bye-bye.
We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
The Art Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We have a very special guest this morning, Rabino Yoshua Binyamin Goldman, who is the chief shliach, the Rebbe's representative to the city of Rio de Janeiro, which is hosting the Summer Olympics. How are you today, Rabbi Goldman?
Baruch Hashem, everything all right?
Good to hear. Good to hear. So there's lots and lots of talk up here in the States. I don't know what you hear from what's going on up here, what people, their perception is, what's going on down there. So but before anything else, tell us about the city of Rio.
The city is a very nice city. We have around 30,000 Jews there.
How big is this as a general population?
I don't know exactly. Millions.
Millions, okay. So do the 30,000 Jews kind of get lost, or is there like specific areas that people know this is a Jewish neighborhood?
Yeah, there are more neighborhoods than where most of the people live, which is Copacabana, Leblon, Ipanema, Flamengo, Tijuca. These are more the Jewish neighborhoods where most of the Jews live.
Uh-huh. Okay. And so what's Jewish life like? I mean, compared to, say, you were raised in Brooklyn. So what's life in Rio like?
We're doing our shlichus for the Rebbe. That's what we do. We try to help the Yiddish guys become stronger and better. That's our focus on the youth, social programs, what Chabad does all around the world.
Okay, how long are you in Rio?
Oh, 30 years.
30 years. What was Judaism like in Rio 30 years ago? What's it, compared to what it's like now?
I think that's a hard question I should answer because I'm very involved with it. It's either someone else should answer that question who's in Rio before I came. They would tell you the difference with what happened when Chabad came to the city.
Okay, so when you got there, you're the first Chabad rabbi of Rio, right?
The first Chabad rabbi in Rio doing Beit Chabad. The war Chabad there around 45 years ago. The Goons, Rabbi Alpen, they all left to São Paulo. Then it was empty for 15 years, and that's when we came down and never started the Beis Chabad movement.
Okay, so when you got there 30 years ago, you're a young guy, family, a wife, probably one or two kids. So what was Yiddishkeit? Was it day schools? Were there butcher shops? Were there bakeries? Was it normal, like it was like you're stepping off of Brooklyn and arriving in Brooklyn, or was it walking out of Brooklyn and walking into a desert?
No, there was nothing there. We ate tuna for a lot of months.
Okay.
One of the big changes we did in the city was about kashrus. There was a little butcher store behind a bar. So one of our things we did in 2 years, it took that we convinced the people, helped the shaliv open up a new store, a nicer store. It should be more acceptable for the people in kashrus. Today we have a shchita, our own shchita in the city, Lubavitcher Shchita in Rio, which is run by Rabbi Berakish, another rabbi. The second thing we did in the city was rebuild the mikvahs. We wanted the mikvah to be more modern, nice, acceptable for the young Jewish couples.
Was there an old mikvah in Rio before you got there?
Yes, there were old mikvahs, but not so easy to convince a young couple to use it.
Uh-huh. They had fallen into disrepair and were not the nicest.
Right, so yes. The first thing we did was 25 years ago, we rebuilt a mikvah, which was there already. And we had the schus of Rabbi Mordechai Eliyahu, chief rabbi of Israel. He was there by the Hanukkah Sabbais of the mikveh, okay? Mm-hmm. And then after that, we built another three mikvehs in the city.
Three mikvehs in three different neighborhoods.
Yeah, different label. It's correct.
Mm-hmm. So how many Chabad houses are in Rio in 2016, Rabbi Goldman?
Today we have three base Chabads in different neighborhoods. We have with ours is four, okay, with the essential four. We have one in Tijuca, one in Capcavana, one in Leblon, and one in Baja da Tijuca.
Okay. Which, as far as I know, are all just south of Miami. That's about my extent of geography goes.
And that's where the Olympics are going to happen more, in that neighborhood called Baja da Tijuca.
Okay. We'll probably hear a lot more about that. So Baja means south of or lower then, right?
Okay.
Yeah. I'm asking. But okay. So now, so the Olympics are coming up. And what are your plans? And I've been on for 20 years. This will be my fifth Olympiad, and I've had Chabad rabbis on from Vancouver and from Tokyo and from, I don't even remember where they were before that, from London, where they've had different presences. What presence will Chabad of Rio have at the Summer Olympic Games this summer in Rio, Rabbi Yoshua Goldman?
Okay. I want to be very clear. We from Chabad, we don't work for the Olympics. We have nothing to do with the organization of the Olympics, not with the Games. We, like Chabad, are there to help the Jews who are coming to the Olympics. That's our job, to make everything possible for the Jews who are coming from different countries, to help them in whatever they need regarding Yiddishkeit. That's our job, and that's where we bring a big... investing a lot of time, effort, money, to have enough people to give attention and to help anything people need for Yiddishkeit.
Uh-huh. So people shouldn't call up Rabbi Goldman and ask if they can get you tickets for the swim finals then, I suppose.
I don't even know where they should get it, because I think they're all sold out already.
Okay. Okay. So what are we planning then? Are in some places they've taken over spaces. In one place they were given a lot and they put up a massive tent. What's the infrastructure for the welcome center for the Jewish people visiting Rio?
We are putting up a welcome center in the middle of Copacabana, which is the biggest community, Jewish community. In a lot of hotels there. In Capcana, there will be a front store to the main street. We will have there a few Bachram.
Yeshiva students, yes.
Which coming from New York special for this, for to get all information about the Tzilin, Kashrus, Shabbos. We'll have that front in Capcana. We'll have in Leblon also, where our base Chabad is, the central Chabad. Whole time information if anyone needs something. We're putting up a site now, especially for the Olympics, for the people who need kosher food, kosher meals for Shabbos. All this we're trying to we're going to prepare for that time.
Okay, let me ask you about Shabbos. For those who are listening in our listening audience, Jews, religious Jews, people who keep the Sabbath, don't drive on the Shabbos. They don't engage in mundane activities, even so much as turning lights on. Are you making Shabbos accommodations for people who want them? Are you putting up in hotels? Are you arranging things? Are you having like special
meals?
No,
we are not. We are not doing that part. Everyone is doing his own reservation hotels. People are calling us up, and we're telling them which are the closest hotels to the synagogues. That's what we're doing. People who want to be near the synagogue are calling us up and telling them exactly which is the best place to be. And in these neighborhoods, we'll have kosher meals for everyone who needs, with reservations beforehand. And in Leblon, which is a very beautiful neighborhood, a lot of hotels, Capcabana also, there will be Shabbos meals made by the shluchim.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been preparing for this? I mean, the city of Rio has been preparing for this Olympics for 12 years already, and you heard about it. We knew that when it was the Olympics were going to be coming to Rio a decade ago. So how long have you been involved in, like, actively deciding what needed to be done, Rabbi Yoshua Ben Gold?
No, we're a few months already, over 8 months work, where I was speaking to the other rabbis of Chabad who did it right in different countries. So I had a lot of meetings already with them. I had a conference calls with them in Russia, which was the last one, in England, and other places, to know exactly what they did and what should be done. And that's from that on, we went ahead to prepare the program.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're working on precedent. You didn't reinvent the wheel for this then?
No. We are continuing the successful of Shluchim, which did it right in other countries.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, the Paralympics, which is this, like the Special Olympics, it's also called, follows after the regular Olympics. Are you still going to be keeping up shop for those people that come for the second Olympics?
We are preparing a special Shabbos in our shul for the Paralympics. We'll be a Kabbalah Shabbos to give like a... what's called in Portuguese, homenaging. But to give them a special welcome for them, we're doing it now, sure, Friday night for the Paralympics, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There are a few Paralympics people who want kosher food. The co-director of Israel was with us 4 months ago in Chabad, and we told him we'll give him all the food he needs for the athletes who wants kosher for the Paralympics.
Uh-huh. Okay. Is there a friendship circle type organization in Rio, like we have in America here?
No.
So you haven't caught up with that yet, and maybe the needs also. Okay, so now...
We have a different social program for poor people.
Uh-huh. Focusing more on poor then. Okay, so now the questions that people really want to hear about is what's been making the news over here is you have things like the Zika virus, crime, political corruption. I just saw today in the news that there's a possibility that the president of Brazil is going to be impeached. I mean, you know, so how are Brazilians dealing with that? And if you're listening, people are listening, maybe somebody listening to the Jewish Hour is thinking about going to Brazil is sitting on the fence because we see reports that the Brazilian authorities are saying we cannot guarantee the safety of the tourists.
It's a hard question to answer because I believe crime is all around the whole world, and we believe that God protects us, and when God protects us, all around we're protected. Make sure you have good mezuzahs on your doors before you leave your house, and take your tool with you, and you'll be protected. About the government things, I cannot answer. I'm not part of the government, so I can't tell you exactly what they're saying that they're not responsible for the security. I really cannot answer about that. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do you feel safe in your home and walking around
yes.
the streets?
Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem.
Okay.
Yes. I've been here for 30 years, and Baruch Hashem, nothing ever happened.
You have no problems walking to the synagogue on Saturday morning?
No. So, the towers or the yarmulke with the kapot, no problem whatsoever.
So a lot of it might be just the media blowing things.
No, there is crime like in every other place. There is crime, there is problems, there is political problems, very serious problems today in Brazil, no question about it. There's the corruption in Brazil, that's no question about it. But you have a normal life, yes. Even though things are very, very hard.
Okay. What about Zika? That's like the dirty word.
Is an issue, no question about it. I do not know anyone of my community who had Zika. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure people are doing what they're supposed to do, using socks and using, when it gets hot and you have the mosquitoes, you have to put a whole time the
spray.
Spray. So that's it. We do what you have to do. So it is an issue, and people have to take care of it and do whatever they say we should be doing.
Okay, so it seems like the Zika virus in Brazil is kind of the same thing like the West Nile virus in America that happened a couple of years ago, where there was like the media was talking about it all over the place. In the meantime, I don't know anybody who contracted West Nile virus, but yet it was like the story for like entire 6 months in America. Would you make a similar assessment, Rabbi Goldman?
No, in the newspapers, we saw pictures of people in the hospital with Zika. We're talking about millions of people. I don't know how many mm-hmm. from those millions had the Zika. It's a fact. I can't say it's not a fact. It's a fact that it happens. I'm saying in our community, I did not hear of anyone, or because people are taking care of themselves. Okay, you have to be careful in your house. You can't have water. You have to do certain things which you don't bring them to your house. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure in certain places in the country where there's the poor is very strong, so they have no cleanness. So I'm sure there's much more a problem of the Zika.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so overall, your expectations for the Chabad's participation, if anybody's Jewish coming down to the Olympics this summer, you expect them to have a positive experience, Rabbi Goldman?
Hopefully, Mr. Hashem.
Good. Now, what about things that go wrong? Are you prepared for, like, helping when there's situations like somebody loses their passport? There's always a thing, the first person they call is the Chabad house. Somebody needs quickly to be airlifted out from someplace. Suddenly they wind up in a hospital for some reason. Things do happen without the crime and whatnot. Is Chabad of Rio set up for handling last-minute, like, emergency situations?
We are going to do things if things will be needed. Where we could do things. Passports is with American Consulate, so really we have no special contact over there to take care of it. Each country has their consulate, which is going to be available to help those people.
Mm-hmm.
But talking about Jewish problems, will be available for them, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
We did it till now. Chas v'shalom, something happened, so I don't want to say about whatever things happen. What happened, then if it's connected to Yiddish guide, so they were involved directly. But we cannot involve with passports when we have no one from the American consulate is available to help us directly about these problems, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Or other consulates, whatever.
Okay, understood then. Okay, that's going to wrap it up. Rabbi Yehoshua Binyamin Goldman, the chief Shliach of the city of Rio de Janeiro.
Anyone could go on our website to ask questions. I have a secretary who's speaking English and ready to answer all questions, whatever someone's need, their information, where to buy kosher food, which hotel, which neighborhoods, when will be minyan, if they want to say Kaddish. Just write to our email, rabino@mitlubavitch.org.br, and we're ready to help anyone else. Anyone wants any information about Yiddishkeit.
Okay, give us the website again, just.
www.baitlubavitchrio.org.br.
Okay, so you have to put the .br at the end to make sure it gets to Brazil.
Yeah, and if people want to have meals, for kosher meals, we'll prepare everything for them. There'll be reservations in different neighborhoods. All Shabbos meals also, okay?
Okay, wonderful. So thank you very much, Rabbi Goldman, and we hope to continue to hear good news.
Thank you very much. And your work also.
Thank you so much.
Good Shabbos for everyone.
Well, okay. Well, thank you so much. We will take care, and we'll be right back. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale. Hey, Shul Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. That's really going from one end of the spectrum to the other, dealing with tragedy and then dealing with, I suppose, in light frivolities, things like Olympics. But we do things on all spectrum over here. You know, it's always interesting. Never a dull moment on the Jewish Hour, especially now that we get to play music. This is West Rogers Park, their new song. West Rogers Park is a duo which had been previously from Chicago, from the West Rogers Park section, but one of them now lives here in Detroit. That's our friend Morty Kurz. And this one is called Kingdom Kid. Let's listen.
It's time we show the world my strength, stronger than it used to be. And I think it's time we gave the world a choice that not it used to be. 'Cause I'll be in the right, I'll take and give what's mine. 'Cause who said that angels need wings? Who said without wings you can't fly? 'Cause I'll be stronger than the lions and stronger than the kings.
stronger than I used to be. Stronger so now. Yes, I'm stronger than the lions. Stronger than the kings. Stronger than I used to be. Stronger so now. Now the world is right and things are going fine. The castle I sit up on is higher than cloud nine. I'll prove that angels don't need wings. I'll prove without wings you can fly. You can fly. You can fly, fly, fly. Cause now I'm stronger than the lions and stronger than the kings. Stronger than I used to be. Stronger so I'll be. Yes, I'm stronger than the lions and stronger than the kings. Stronger than I used to be. Keep on carrying. But if an angel has come and broke my throne, oh, the world has lost its people, are alone. I said, Father, won't you help me? I've suffered enough. No, my dear son, not all fights can be won. Stay here and fight my own fight. I'll stay here and fight my own fight. Cause now I'm stronger than the lions and stronger than the kings. Stronger than I used to be. Strong as all of me. I guess I'm stronger than the lions and stronger than the kings. Stronger than I used to be. Strong as all.
Was awesome. We got another one coming up before you right now. This is brand spanking new as well. This is Benny Friedman, Kulani Yahad, all together. someone you know have an addiction to opiates? Ready to take your life back but don't have the time for a long inpatient program? MDS Drug Detox is a team of physicians with extensive experience in the field of rapid drug detox under anesthesia. MDS is the nation's only rapid opiate detox under anesthesia facility with the same doctors, RNs, and certified paramedics attending the entire drug detox process. MDS Drug Detox is safe and effective. Their goal is to provide the best, the safest, and the most economical way to free you from your addiction. MDS uses the highest standards of care and the best FDA-approved medications. MDS Drug Detox understands what your concerns are. Make the call today, 888-637-6968, or go online to www.mdsdrugdetox.com. That's 888-637-6968, MDS Drug Detox. Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. This is the segment where we do something kind of sort of off a beat for a little bit, just interesting and unusual type stuff. So we have here, the group here is called Havara, which means the group. And they are a Turkish band, a Turkish Jewish music band. The song that we're going to be listening to is called Shir HaSephardim, the song of the Spanish Jew, as interpreted by a Turkish Jewish band. Let's listen. I think you'll like it. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. This hour is just flying by. This week is the portion of Balak. And one of the things that I like to point out, and have done it, I guess, a couple of times over the 20 years that the Jewish Hour has been on air, is the mentioning, or at least the allusion, to the Messiah's coming in the 5 books of Moses, is in this week's portion, in the portion of Balak. And what's really interesting is, it's not Moses who's telling us that the Messiah is going to come. It's Bilam. Now, this Bilam dude, who was Bilam? Bilam was the anti-Moses. It's talked about in the Kabbalah and Jewish mysticism that the world was created in balance between good and evil. You may look around and see that there's a whole lot more evil in the world, but the balance between good and evil is not quantitative. It's qualitative. It's like light and dark. How much light do you need to add to the dark to get the dark away? That type of a thing. So you don't need a whole lot of good and holiness to counterbalance the effects and ramifications of darkness and evil. So just as there was a Moses, there was a Bilam. Now, I'm not saying that Bilam was greater in there for Moses. They were exactly the same as far as prophecy goes. They could talk to God ad lib. Whenever they wanted to, they could do that. Now, you might ask the question, why is it that God would do such a thing? And it's just quite simple. At a point sometime in the future, if it hasn't happened already, the nations of the world will come before the Almighty and say, well, had we known, if we had a Moses, we would have accepted the Torah. And God will respond, well, you had Bilam, and guess what? You didn't accept the Torah. Too late, too bad, sorry. So, hence the need for this imbalance. Besides, had there not been a Bilam, then what would have happened? Moses, in his greatness, would have been able to single-handedly tip the scales of holiness, and obviously the world was not ready, and Messiah would have come during the time of Moses. So, now, getting back to this idea that was not the one who tells about the Mashiach. And indeed, who is the Mashiach? The Mashiach is a descendant of David. Okay, good. David, as we know from the end of the book of Ruth, was a descendant of Ruth, who's known as Ruth the Moabite. Balak, which this name's portion is, was Ruth's great-great-grandfather. So we see that the Mashiach is actually a descendant of this king, Balak, who wanted to wipe out the Jewish people. How is it that he merited to have such a thing, a King David, a Messiah, as a progeny? Is because he actually offered up 42 sacrifices to the Almighty. These were in order to, like, appease God, to allow Bilam, this prophet, to curse the Jewish people, wipe them out, so that way he wouldn't have to go to war with them, which eventually they did go to war, and the Moabites got their heads handed to them, quite literally. The response to this is, and the lesson we learn is if this is what happens to those who violate God's will, that for one little good thing, there's a Messiah in their lineage. Imagine those who are adhering to the will of God, doing what God wants. Could you imagine what's in store for us? Whoa. We are running out of time speedily, but hopefully Mashiach will come before the end of the next commercial. Don't go away. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard from the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for The Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Best way? RabbiFinman.com. Go right to my website. We have contact right on the homepage. You don't have to go looking for it. We make life convenient, easy, no stress. What else will you find? Well, archived editions of the show, archived editions of other things that we're doing that make things interesting and exciting and educational for people like yourself. Go check it out. We also have the very important donations pages. Thank God we paid for May. Yes. What's today? June 16th? June 17th? July 17th, rather. Yes. So now we have to go. We're only 6 weeks into June. So this is an ongoing process. I'm making a pledge, and I've made this pledge, that if any time we actually catch up, like, for example, if July were paid for, which means we need to pay for June and July, if July and June were both paid for, like, say, this week, next week, I don't make the pledge. I don't do the fun drive over here, because who wants to listen to me talk about giving money? So do that right now. Go to your computer, go to RabbiFinman.com, go to the donations page, and pick a number. The universe is filled with numbers, whatever number your heart desires. And make life easier? Do it monthly. You can do it that way. You can set up so that you don't have to worry about it ever again. That's exactly what pushed us over the top this time, is a couple people, they muscled up and they put up, and they're now monthly subscribers. Thank you very much. Even if it's $5 a month, that's $60 a year. That's great. That's awesome. Do it. Don't like doing it that way? Go to send your donation in any amount to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. The reason why I'm telling this story is because the Lubavitcher Rebbe told this story 40 years ago today. As a matter of fact, I drive around listening to the Rebbe's recorded gatherings, and I'm currently listening to Yud Beis Tammuz, which is today, Tuf Shin Lamed Vav, which is the year that I became religious 40 years ago. And at that Verbrengen, the Rebbe was talking about a salient point about education, and he mentioned there that he, when he was in Paris, 1947, he traveled back to Paris from New York in order to help his mother, who had been managed to escape, it's a whole thing over there, from Soviet Russia, disguised as a Polish refugee with a Polish passport, and wound up in Pucking, Germany, and then wound up in Paris in 1947, and he brought her back. And he spent a good couple of weeks over there. So it once happened that he walked into the synagogue for the evening prayers, and in doing so, as he's getting ready, so he threw a couple of coins into a charity box. And somebody came over to him and said, you know, it says in the writings of the Kabbalah that you should not give charity at night. And it's also mentioned in the Jerusalem Talmud in the tractate that deals with payah, with giving gifts to the poor. So he's wondering about this, and when he came back to New York, he asked the Rebbe then, who was the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, whose birthday is being celebrated today, that indeed it does say in the writings of the Arizal about giving charity at night, and it's mentioned in the Yerushalmi, and maybe he had done something wrong, and he's asking the Rebbe for some way to correct it. So the Friedrich Rebbe smiled at him and said, that person who was criticizing you for giving charity at night himself probably doesn't give charity during the day. So the lesson from this is If it's a good thing, it's a good thing. And just do it. And don't take into any consideration what other people are thinking. If you're doing a good thing, do a good thing. That's going to do it for us. Thank you for tuning in. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week. We hope to see you back again next week. Take care.
How can you believe in God when there's so much suffering in the world? Why should I trust the Bible? Hasn't science shown us that we don't need God? These are the questions our young people